All right, Jed, let me just confirm. Are you back?
I am.
Perfectamente. We are set and ready to roll for our Media Bids Power Hour. Thank you so much to each of you and all of you who are joining us, who are ad sales leaders around the world, whether we're talking about print, newsletters, websites, digital, whatever that combination or bundle might include. We are delighted that you're with us, whether you are selling ads for newspapers, magazines, niche or niche publications, whether they're free, paid, or targeted and direct mailed. All of those arenas fall under the umbrella of the points that we cover here. As we're getting settled in, we're always going to encourage you, clear your desk, close your office door, try to find a way to not have any distractions. We have four key points we're going to be sharing. And it's not an accident that we don't put something on the screen. We don't want you many-tasking or multitasking. The very best in adult education research still says to this day that the very skills that we learned in the earliest days of education says that the more notes you make, the more notes you take, the more that we transfer the knowledge. We infuse the knowledge. And the strategies from today, literally minutes after we wrap up, you can begin to deploy immediately. That is always the focus of all of our Power Hour work, our Academy work every Tuesday, and our coaching with leaders like you all around the world for 21-plus years. With me is Jed, the CEO and founder of Media Bids. And Jed, I always love some opening words about what's cooking in your world, the trends that you are seeing, and of course, many of our opening conversations before we even formally got started today. So what see you across the bow? Tell me, Jed.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. My name's Jed Gould. Thank you, Ernest, for running these teleseminars. They're always extremely educational for me and hopefully for the people on the calls as well. Media Bids, we've been around for about 18 years. We're in the business of driving revenue to publications. We do it in many different ways, but we are strong believers in print and in the results that print can produce. We are tracking results all the time from thousands of ads each week to determine which ads are working in what types of publications, and using that data, we then approach advertisers and are able to get advertisers who have not used print in the recent past. So our goal is to take response-based advertisers who have become accustomed to and sort of dependent on the types of ad mediums that are offered outside of print, things like AdWords and banner ads and, you know, even increasingly radio and television where they're paying for a response, a response from those mediums and to turn them into print advertisers and to get those dollars flowing back into print, because what we've found is the response that's being generated by print publications tends to be of a much better quality, tends to be more valuable. It drives better customers than other mediums, customers who spend more, who last longer. So we have lots of advertisers who we speak to, who we share these sort of print metrics with, and who are, you know, in most cases surprised. That's how we approach the world, and that's we'd love for you and your publication to be involved. We would love to, if you're currently using us, thank you, and you'd like to, talk to us anytime, please give us a call, visit our website. We're always happy to talk to publications. So again, thanks for joining us.
And Jed, it's been wonderful to work together over the last 10-plus years. To each of you and all of you, so many of you already work with Media Bids. You know the revenue they bring. You know that the traditional values they bring. They say they're going to do biz with you. They say they're going to bring revenue, and they do. And I absolutely love that about the way that Jed and their team work behind the scenes. And, of course, for those of you who are new to our educational Media Bids Power Hour, we encourage you to learn more about MediaBids at their website. You will appreciate and value what so many have come to enjoy working with them. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is PowerHour. I've been in the advertising sales sector since 1986, three decades. I've launched three of my own publications. I was a leader in a $1 billion media group, and we launched PowerHour in 1995 and have coached more than 2,000 advertising sales teams and leaders and executives in 11 time zones around the world over the last 21 years. We're coming up on just about 250 educational programs like this, and they're always intended to give you the news, the information, the tools, and the strategies that will help you win. For those that we do work with, we always love to say, bring us in when the kitchen is the hottest. And that's just a very simple visual because you've got big challenges, you've got big opportunities, you've got big competitors, you have acquisitions that you want to make, you want a better footprint for your print, you want more success on the web, whatever that may be, we're here to help you. Plus, sort of the crown jewel, every Tuesday we have an advertising sales academy. We'd love to have you come join us. Just simply come in to powerhour.com. And there's more information there for you. So, Jed, today we're going to be talking about building a strong leadership approach that delivers results. Today, rather than sort of the nuts and bolts and mechanics of ad sales, ad selling, ad competitor, CPMs, cost per call, cost per lead, and all the other things that we do at a more granular, today is at a higher level. And I want to make certain today that we realize that there are those of you who are leaders already in a leadership capacity that you want to sort of check in and confirm that your leadership approach and your leadership messaging is of the best practices in our space and sector. And also in the way that you guide those who are below you. When you have those of you who are in the opposite capacity, you're pausing saying, I'm in the newer part or the middle part of my career path, and I want to ensure that I'm fast-tracking towards my dreams and goals. So we have sort of a two-dimensional call, depending on what point of view and perspective you're coming from. Jed and I want to make certain that we cover both sides of the coin. And as you're listening to this call, sort of think about it through the sort of double word and Scrabble and the way that you think about, gee, how am I doing as a leader, and then how do the principles help me roll up in my leadership capacity? So, Jed, we said there were four key areas that we're going to cover, and I want to start by talking about the ever-rolling video that showcases our leadership style. And Jed, probably like yourself, when you own a company, run a company, you're in a leadership capacity, people come up to you and say, Jed, you once told me, or Jed, when I used to work for you, you once asked me to, or needed me to improve, or recommended X, Y, or Z, whatever that was. And we all have those moments, Jed, where someone has kind of come up to us and said, you remember when, and we sort of gulp and go, oh my gosh, what did I say, right, Jed? Because we're out there in the world saying a lot of things to a lot of people, you know what I'm saying?
Right, yep, it's, I think I definitely gulp.
Because you never quite know, and I want to share some examples as we sort of settle in here. I can remember that Mr. Schiffer was one of my very first jobs. Was I worked in Publix grocery stores in Florida, and to get that paycheck, Jed, I mean $73.61. I felt like I was rich. I felt like I was the king of the world. I remember if it was 7:08 and you clocked out at 7:08. You got paid for the quarter hour. Literally, those things that you just remember from being a kid. And Mr. Schiffer had come to me. Here I am bagging groceries, and he had given me an opportunity to actually build an end cap. And an end cap in a grocery store is where you come down to the end, you wind around, and many wouldn't know this, but those end caps, you pay a premium. So if you have cans of tuna or olives or pineapple, whatever it is you want to sell those end caps, you pay a premium for every single day you're at an end cap. So Mr. Schiffer says to me, Mr. Orienti, I have a new responsibility for you. Of course, I snap to attention. I'm thinking, I thought I was bagging groceries. Mr. Schiffer, my manager, he has got a new project for me. He gives me the task of setting up this tuna display. Here are the boxes. Here's the end cap. Here are the things that I need you to do. Mr. Schiffer, I will be more than happy to take care of that. I am your guy. Of course, I'm beaming with pride, and I begin to build the end cap following what I thought were his instructions. Needless to say, Jed, you could finish the story by going, Ernest, was there any chance you got it right? Of course, Mr. Schieffer comes rolling around the bed. Mr. Oriente, you are three quarters of the way through the end cap, and you failed to listen to me. Mr. Oriente, I need you to start all over again. It was one of those moments that I realized, here I am talking about, you know, my first job. Here I am talking about something that happened almost four decades ago, right? And I can remember his name, and I can remember the moment, I can remember the end cap, I can remember the tuna. Being on video are these moments. All of us have these moments. Think about your first job. Think about the first time someone sort of chewed your ear. You know, hey, you didn't deliver. This was my moment, Jed. Going back to being just a teeny bopper, right? I'm floating around. I'm getting my check for $73.61. I'm standing at the time clock at 7:08 to get my quarter hour, and I fail to deliver on the tuna. And so it is a reminder that when others say something to us, this is the most important cornerstone of leadership. When somebody says something to us above us, we hear it. We don't always hear it, by the way, perfectly, but whether it was high praise or whether it was a strong critique or feedback, or frankly, you might be a reminder of a time you got fired. We have all had those moments. But the realization is that when these things happen, they're stored on video. It's also a reminder, once you agree to that, that we then go the other way and we remember that those that we are guiding on the other side are also doing what? Remembering the things that we say and the things that we do. And it's important to recognize in my corporate days, Jed, when my leaders reported to me and they would say, hey, I'm a little off, or, hey, I'm really losing my composure today, or it's not going well with my team, or not posting the ad sales gains we need. You know, we talk about it, but if they said, look, I'm also under the weather, listen, I got to be honest, Ernest, I'm a new father, or I'm a new mother, I didn't sleep last night, I'd be like, hey, go home, you know, or close your office door and do a little filing or do a little quiet off to the side because you're on video. And they'd say, what does that mean? I said, remember, I don't want you having a bad day with your team. In fact, I'd rather you go home early if there's nothing else that can do to change the course of your day. Go home early. Take it as a, not as a sick day, but as a mental health day. Go enjoy. Relax. I'll see you tomorrow. And literally, they were always, they're always these puzzled look. They're like, you're serious? I'm like, yeah, I am. Because I don't want you uncorking or losing it or saying something that you'd rather regret because of this principle. So, Jed, when you think back to those examples, when you think back to some of your early employment days or maybe a conversation where a manager sat down and sort of bent your ear, maybe it was going well or maybe it wasn't, does that ring a bell for you from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, you know, I can, as you say, you know, I can vividly remember, usually the negative stuff, right? You know, you tend to remember that better, but I can vividly remember criticisms I got, you know, going all the way back to jobs I had in high school. So you're right. It does weigh on you, and when you're managing people, right, it's a way of looking at it that puts it in perspective, because I can certainly remember times, you know, when I've been having a bad day or, you know, just grumpy and probably said something in a way that didn't quite mean it, you know, and that person probably remembers it vividly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And for those of you who know Jed like I do, you know that he is a master chess player. And somewhere along the way, Jed, somewhere along the way, somebody gave you praise or somebody gave you critique. Would you agree with that?
Sure, yeah, all the time, yep.
All the time, there you go. So,
that's what parents are for, right?
There you go, that's right. So these are the examples, right? These are the stories that we think about. But once you agree to that, then let's transition that. Let's bring it back to our ad sales world, okay? Because there's a reminder that when you're walking down the hall, when this finishes up today, and you're walking down the hall, you're going to see Mary walking right at you. And across Mary's forehead is an invisible brand. And the brand goes like this. Mary is, you fill in the blank, spot on, always gets it, does great work. Wow, is she fast-tracking. Boom. And all of that took place with Mary on your team in the span of about 3 seconds. Boom, boom, boom. Right behind Mary comes Rick. What a loser, always late, is lost, overpromises. Wow, does he need to leave this team? Okay? Now, reverse that. Mary is looking at you. Rick is looking at you as they're passing down the hall. What is the brand in 3 seconds regarding yourself? What is your brand? And this does not matter whether you're the president, the owner, the CEO, the VP, or the inside salesperson, production, circulation, design, name any aspect of what we do in our space. Every single person on your team has that piece. I once had a creative, what was her title? Head of creative. She ran all, we brought all of our ads and she did all the ad building. I think it was head of creative, whatever it was. I was reporting those days to our team in Nevada. And if I were in the market traveling in from California, when I would tiptoe into her office, she'd look at me over the corner of her glasses and she'd say, yes, which is some version of, what do you need now? You're bothering me. And I would tiptoe my way over and go, would you mind just making this word bold? She'd say, I'll get to it when I get to it. Okay? What was the brand of Lori, my creative person? Oh, my God. All right? So here, this is another example, something that goes back almost 30 years ago, that quick example. You know, these are the things that stick with us. They go on to be funny stories, but in the moment, they're not. I needed a word bold so I could go out and sell that spec ad. So your brand, it's on your forehead, every single one of you have it. And a little later today, we'll talk about the difference between feedback, feed forward, and how to shift that brand. Very important piece in our space, in our sector, okay? And by the way, speaking of moments, if you've ever had somebody really uncork, really lose their temper, if you had somebody just, you know, jumping out of their chair at you or in the middle of a meeting, these are the things that go on that get stored in this ever-rolling video, and it is tough, not impossible, but it is tough to change that brand, and you've got to do a lot of work on that side. This is about your leadership style and important components to recognize. Jed, before we go into point number two, talking about dashboards and coaching and career path, any comments or observations related to this on video as it relates to our leadership style?
No, I mean, I think it's a great way to look at, you know, to look at it, because, you know, there you know, as you're talking, there's so many occurrences that sort of flash through my mind that you know, that I wish I had done differently, or you know, that didn't turn out the way I intended, and I think that, you know, by looking at it that way, it's a good perspective to have, and also a good perspective to, you know, to counsel, you know, others to have, because you're right. I mean, people, you know, I don't think people realize how long-lasting some of these impressions can be.
Well, and just as a little sidebar, because you mentioned chess and your parents, make no mistake, for those of you who, yes, make no mistake, for those of you who are parents, the same rules apply, gulp, constantly on video with our children, and likewise, you growing up with your parents. So that's a little sidebar, but everything we're talking about correlates perfectly. The difference is that when you're working with children, especially young children, boy, oh boy, can they be impressionable. But that's a little side note. So let's talk about the point number two we promised to cover and field some of the questions that are moving around. Let's talk about dashboards, coaching, and career paths. There's a couple of pieces of leadership style, all right? And again, even if you are an inside sales rep, even if you just run outside sales and, you know, in your role, in your capacity, you run a territory saying, Ernest, am I, and Jed, am I a leader? Am I in a leadership capacity? Heck yeah, that's you're an intrapreneur. That is your turf. Every single account in your geographical area, if you work in person, or every single account in your database, if you work by phone, plus email, plus Skype, plus conference call, that is your fiefdom. That's your kingdom. That's your world, and you are the leader of that. You know, so even the most basic pieces, if you've got 200 prospects, my opening salvo is, great, when was the last time you reached all 200? You know, if this is your, if you're the king of your kingdom, if you're the king of your castle, then that, and those 200 are yours, then what have you done to move them forward? So that sort of weaves us into some of those key areas, a dashboard, right? And this applies from a leadership perspective or from a sales perspective looking up, but a dashboard that you're keeping track of your KPIs, your key performance indicators. And for me, if I'm a sales rep right out of the gate, my question is, am I touching base with each of my 200 prospects and leads? At what level of frequency? How do I show my leadership role? We were working in our academy, Jed, on Tuesday, and the very conversation we had on Tuesday was playbook. How do I install myself in their playbook so I am the premium buy, the top of the stack, and I don't get my ads canceled because I am a must-buy? How do we get there? How do we position ourselves as thought leaders? And that was the granular conversation that we covered on Tuesday. So this piece about KPIs, what are your KPIs? What is it you're keeping track of? You know, what is the most key and most important? And then where are the variances of those 200? Which ones are hot? Sort by, you know, by that group of 30. Which are warm? There's another 15 or 20. Which ones am I going to see at an upcoming show or an upcoming association meeting where I can reach out? I mean, all these little pieces that we want to make certain from a leadership perspective and are in place. And likewise, for those of you who are the owners and the presidents and you of your companies and you oversee an advertising sales team, then your barometer is matches, but it's a little different. Now it's, so if I'm looking at Ernest's portfolio of 200 prospects and Jed's 200, how are each of them doing? Which ones have they worked with this month? Which ones have they moved from cold to warm to hot? Which ones did they give presentations to? Which ones did they close? Because that creates the coaching moments, okay? So again, we're sort of having this like double word and Scrabble conversation about, you know, sort of how to weave in dashboards, because leaders have these dashboards where they can see the variances, where they can see that the timely data is being updated. So for example, if this month, Jed, I go out and I reach out to all my 200 and I never miss a month, right? And my manager is looking at that and looking at those KPIs, looking at the dashboard. They know that I'm doing what I do every month, that I'm rocking. But imagine for a moment that I drop off next month and then the following month. How long does it take my managers to know that? How long does it take me to know that? Because I can see what those trends are. It's like watching the stock of Google or Facebook as it goes up and down. You can watch minute by minute. Well, what indicators do we have of our own success? And maybe what's happened is that, frankly, I dropped off because, you know, I haven't maybe shared with my manager I'm having health issues or family issues, or frankly, I may be planning a move and a relocation, and maybe I'm two steps out the door. Wouldn't my manager like to know that before it's 3 months later and a fraction of the portfolio has been handled? Imagine, Jed, in your case, if you've only been averaging 50 of those 200, you've been only just inching along and only just maybe a fourth on a monthly basis, and your manager says, hey, we need to step this up, Jed. Let me show you what I'm seeing. Let me give you some coaching and advice about how we're going to improve this. But alternatively, if you don't improve, we may part ways. That's a manager who cares, who is being very specific, not a lot of rah-rah, just sort of saying, look, we've got to do more and produce more. And, Jed, the byproduct of that would be what? More commissions, more sales, and your own career advancement. And if you don't want to be part of the team and you don't want to step up, we might part ways, which is the other side saying, you know, we have to deliver. Jed, does that make sense as we're talking about dashboards and variances and barometers? I know you do a lot of that on the MediaBid side, measuring and evaluating ad results and uptick of leads. I mean, this is a very important part of what MediaBid does on behalf of clients, yes?
Yeah, and I thought you were going to use your classic line, which I'll steal from you, which is inspect what you expect, right? And
I need a royalty for that.
I'm sorry, I'm stealing your thunder here, but yeah, I mean, you know, the big mistake that I have often made, and I probably still make to some extent, is the inspection part, right? You know, you can expect things, but in order to expect it, you have to be involved. I mean, it's only fair, right, to be involved and to inspect what you expect people to do.
That's exactly correct, and that really syncs up with a question that came in from Barbara. And Barbara asks, what is the best way to motivate a sales staff from a non-monetary perspective? And this is that, Barb, it's a great question because this is the very essence. You know, when you just use the monetary side, Barbara, then you get short-term gains, but you don't get long-term growth. You really have to understand the psychology of what each person on your team really is playing for. It's not that I'm playing for more money, but what I'm really focused on is my retirement or providing college for my son, and my son's name is Drake, or it's really I'm planning a vacation, and my wife's name is Tina. You know, it's knowing more intimately those areas of what I'm really focused on. So therefore, then you can work with me on where my gaps are. You know, I honestly struggle with handling cold calls. It's not always natural, or I'm not always good on my feet, or I don't always field objections timely, or I don't always have the pre-meeting prep, or how to field those objections, or how to address competitors. You know, this is about catching fish versus teaching your team members how to fish. You have to know what they're missing in order to help them catch fish, not catch it for them, okay? So, Barbara, it's a great question, and if you have a follow-up question, just hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here or send a quick email to Ernest@powerhour.com, and we'll tuck you in. We've got some additional questions that we'll weave in as we roll along here. So let's talk about the next piece of part number two is coaching, and Jed, you've already been touching on some of that. You know, we want to coach our team to win. We want to listen to the words, but listen to the meaning. So, Jed, if I come in your office, I'm working for you, you're my sales manager, and I say, hey, Jed, you know, and you say, Ernest, how are you? And I say, you know, I'm okay. You pause and go, all right, are you okay or are you not? Or if I come in and say, you know, yeah, you know, I'm okay, and you know, all is good, you pause and go, all right, is everything good? You know, the coaching component, the coaching moments means we only listen, not listen to the words, but we listen to the pauses, we look for the, listen to the inflection in a person's voice. And these are the key barometers. There's a little guide. We have a client of ours on the East Coast that we've been working on a project, Jed, for about 30 days, and there's been a small task of send a little update each day. We got about 12 days in, and we didn't get the 13th, and then we didn't get the 14th. And just by that two-day pause, with, you know, literally 1,000 emails coming and going on a daily basis here at Power Hour, just in this two-day pause, it caused me to pause and reach out and say, hey, Devin, everything okay? Which triggered a phone call that afternoon because things weren't okay. So in the span of those two quick emails that did not show up on day 13 and 14, I already knew as a sales coach helping Devin and their team that something was a little off. We spoke by phone. We got back on track. Day 15, 16, 17, everything rolled right back along, and that team is working towards their goals and towards their success. So we have to listen to the words, but also the meaning. And then we have to also follow it up. So, Jed, if I'm in a meeting and you ask how I'm doing and I say things have been a little rough, you know, there's some health issues with my son or my, you know, my wife's, father is not doing well. Hey, you've got to coach with a heart and you've got to stay right back in there and ask how they're doing and ask about that family member or the health issue or whatever the topic is as well. And then the other side is when we coach those on our team from a leadership perspective, we want to raise the bar as well. We want to be able to say, look, not only do I notice, Jed, that you're making 4 presentations, but the rest of the team's making 12. So I'm here to help you as your leader, as your sales manager. I'm here to help you raise that bar. Or you say, you know, Ernest, I really want to, you know, improve my public speaking. Great. I'm going to pay for Toastmasters, but I need you to participate every week. Can we agree to that? So raising the bar, you know, when we think about high water raises all boats. Raising the bar is one of those things that we do as leaders when we are managing a team below us. But in reverse, no matter where you are in the organizational chart, as you are thinking about your own goals and dreams, you want to be raising that bar as well. When you say, look, I don't need Ernest or Jed to tell me my speaking skills aren't good enough. I know how to get myself signed up for a speaking class or Toastmasters. Jed, my own daughter, was here this weekend. I think I shared along the way proudly. She works for Google. She's in San Francisco. And here she said, half dad, the things I'm doing, I got it. I own it, right? And the other half dad, just scare the heck out of me. It's like parachuting out of an airplane without a parachute, including all the numbers and the spreadsheets and the graphs. I struggle in that space. But guess what? I'm signed up for a weekend class to improve my Excel skills. And those are the words. I was like, wow, that's you raising the bar. That's you committing to your own excellence and your own dreams and goals by you going after it. So, Jed, your perspective on this coaching component we're talking about?
Yeah, I think it's really a great point, and I think that I'm sure that I'm not different than a lot of people on the call, and that is that you tend to get sort of pigeonholed in what what you expect people to do and what they feel their job is, and there's probably a lot of unused capacity, when it comes to employees who are extremely good at one thing and could be good at another, but without sort of taking that conversation a little further, it sometimes can be tough to get there. You know, it kind of reminds me of what Google did, or at least I don't know if they still do it, or they may still do it with some people, but what Google used to do was they would say, one day a week you have to work on a project which is completely unrelated to what your normal duties are. And this is sort of the easiest example would be, an engineer, right, who's working on search engine optimization all week long, but every Friday they work on, sort of their dream project, which might be, who knows, it might be a charity website, or it might be a website for selling school books, or it could be something completely unrelated to what they're working on. But I think that sort of the idea that your job can expand to your capabilities, right, is something that I think really keeps people motivated.
It does, and people never forget that you took time to invest in them. They never forget that you pointed out honestly. I truly believe from a coaching perspective, you have to honestly say to people, look, or someone on your team, look, your speaking skills are not where they need to be, but it's not going away. Look, as my daughter is staring down the numbers and the spreadsheets, and that's not her gift, but she's in the worldwide marketing department for Google. It's not going away. And I said to her, I said, look, not only are you investing in you, but you're just going to catapult your career. I said, literally, stare down the biggest dragon in the room and go get it. Stare down the biggest, because it's going to impact your career path, and no one will ever tell you got passed over and passed over again because you didn't have the numeric side of the house. You have to own that piece. So it was a very interesting conversation. It just kind of casually came up, but, I always like to share life examples that, of things that we see and that we hear and that we observe. So this coaching piece is about leadership. For those of you from a leadership to top down, these are the coaching moments that matter in your team. In reverse, for those of you that are anywhere in the middle-ish or tracking your way up, it matters as well in the way that you engage with those around you. Let's talk about career paths, because when you think about your career path today, where are you? Is it moving slowly? Is it moving quickly? What does your job tenure look like? How long have you been in your current role? How many jobs have you had in the last 5 years? Frankly, we have advertising leaders that come to us that have had 5 jobs in 5 years. I'm going to tell you very transparently, very graciously, we don't work with those who have 5 jobs in 5 years. Because if we were to bring you into the recruiting side of Power Hour and put our name in front of yours, you're going to go out and work for the 6th company and leave as well in the 6th year. So there is something to be said. When things are hot in your kitchen, don't leave. When they're hot in your kitchen, stay engaged and keep working on your dreams and goals from that perspective. But this also works in reverse. For those of you from a leadership capacity, you have to ask yourself, how many new hires have I made this year? How much turnover have I had? What is the tenure of those on my team? And the ultimate question goes like this, Jed. Whenever we speak to ad sales leaders and the presidents of companies, we talk about how many internal promotions. If you want to know your report card of career paths, how many internal promotions have you made? Now, Jed, in my corporate days, I actually made a presentation on this, and I had 27 individuals that I had internally promoted, in some cases, two and three hops, where they started here and then grew and then grew. Some of the greatest examples, I had a gentleman that worked for me that started as a sales rep, went on to be a junior sales manager, full sales manager, went on to be a national trainer. One of the greatest success stories, and I remember sitting down, his name was Robert, sitting down and saying, Robert, you know, here are the things you've got to work on, and if you believe in me and I believe in you and we work on this together, we're going to get this right. And he said, Ernest, I'm so disorganized. Look at my office. It looks like a tornado hit. I said, Robert, grab a cup of coffee for us both. We'll meet here Saturday morning. Saturday morning, Ernest, you're going to work with me? Saturday morning, we're going to carve out 4 hours, and we're going to touch every piece of paper in your office, file it, organize it, or discard it. You're going to be able to see the bottom of your desk, and it'll forever change your organizational path. Robert was one of those, Jed, that came back to me years and years and years later to tell me what an impact, A, that I cared, and B, I showed him a methodology that went on to carry him throughout the course of his lifetime. So one of those opportunities. Let's field a question that came in. How do you create high participation and enthusiasm in sales meetings? I love this piece. Couple of suggestions, okay? Number one, call people by name. And for those of you that are part of our academy, for those of you who are, we work with in a group setting, we call you by name even if we don't see you. Mary, how about this? Ralph, how about this? Rita. So the moment you begin to call on people, it requires them to more actively pay attention. So that's number one. Assuming that you're meeting in person, you're just going to call them out. Number two, give people specific assignments. When I was in the Los Angeles market, Jed, we had, I think it was something like 17 or 18 competitors. Every single week, we assigned a particular person with a format and a structure to go out and research a competitor, come back, build everything they could, put it into a binder, and make the presentation to the team so we knew about that specific competitor. And that was a way of engaging. Third recommendation, and then we'll go forward, is keep things interesting. Bring a news article that's relevant. Jed, you and I were talking earlier about Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, what's going on those platforms. Keep things fresh. Number two, role play. Number three, do pop quizzes. Number four, we've talked about this in prior educational programs. We put pop quizzes under the, we taped them under the bottom of people's chairs when they came into sales meetings, and there was all kinds of role-playing exercises, quizzes to do, fill in the blanks. People never again, Jed, came into a meeting without looking under their chair first. So we always had one more quick example, and that is we had a gentleman by the name of Renaud. And we were chasing down a competitor that had literally hundreds of pages, all full pages that were way more than us. And we put them all up on the board. We stapled them up all throughout the conference room. And he had a big shark hook in the middle of the table. And every time we took a full page down to a half or removed it, we took it off the wall and drove it through a shark hook. And the shark hook was, imagine, almost 3 feet long, as big as your arm, from your elbow to your hand. So have yeah. fun with your team. Engage them. Find ways. So, again, it's a wonderful question from that perspective. Jed, feed forward or feedback? Our third point here. Surely we've talked about feedback, right? We know what that is. We look backward. You already said it. Inspect what you expect. I believe you took my notes.
That is absolutely your line, but I've heard you say it enough that I've adopted it.
you know where I live, okay? so the part about feedback, the most important part here from a leadership perspective, and let's talk about it on both sides of the table, for those of you managing ad sales teams, it is absolutely mandatory at the end of every month you sit down and do a feedback session. We're going backward to review performance every single month. It doesn't happen quarterly. It doesn't happen annually. That's an annual review. You've got to stay in touch with your ad sales team every single month. Those are called one-on-ones, and it's very simple, you know, very straightforward meeting. It's run, by the way, by the sales rep or whomever reports up to you, whether we're talking about editorial, circulation, production, design, whatever it might be. It's very simple. Here's what I'm proud of. Jed, you know, this is our one-on-one. I'm going to show you what I'm proud of, Jed. giving you my summary. I'm driving the meeting. Number two, I'm going to share with you the places that I need help. And number three, the places where I need you to join a meeting and help me move things forward. Very straightforward. Three basic questions. The most important part is it's driven from the field up. So sales managers, this isn't your meeting. It's those on your team, and they should have their dashboard in front of you and them to be able to describe the successes of what they have what they've accomplished, okay? And likewise, for those of you that are joining us here and listening to our educational program here today, it works in reverse. You proactively run these meetings, and frankly, if in your case your manager is not running the meetings, you request the meeting. You tell them you want to run a meeting to summarize what you've accomplished, where you need their help, and the meetings that you want them to join with you for the next 30 days. That's your role, and that's you practicing being involved in these meetings so that when you're in a leadership capacity, you'll know exactly how to run the meetings. That is feedback. Now, feed forward. Feed forward is different. Feed forward, let's go back to the brand. You are the brand, okay? Let's imagine for just a second, Jed, that you come into meetings every single Monday and you know three things about me. Ernest will always be late to the meeting at 8 o'clock on Monday. Ernest will always be disorganized. And Ernest at some point will lose his cool in that meeting. Imagine that for just a moment. There's my brand. You know that. You snicker at the coffee pot before you come into the meeting. Let's see. Let's draw straws. What time will Ernest show up? He'll be clearly disorganized. And let's also have a little office pool when he'll lose his cool. Will it be at 8:20, 8:30, or 8:40? And you go, Ernest, those meetings, those pools actually go on. Yes, they do. Okay? So feed forward is a model that says, how do you change that brand? Okay, so imagine for a second, Jed, that somebody within the company has come to me and said, Ernest, you lose your cool, you're not organized, and man, everybody knows you're late every single Monday for those meetings. And I say to that person, you know what, I'm going to make improvements. Starting next week, I'm going to be on time, I'll be ready, and I won't lose my cool. I'm going to do it every single week. And hey, come back and let me know in a few months if I'm making any progress. And a few months later, has anything happened? Well, maybe I made a shift internally. But it's that classic, if a tree falls in the woods and no one hears it, did it fall? My comment is, it didn't fall. I could make all the changes I want, but Jed, you still know I'm the guy who runs late, not organized, and loses my cool because I have done nothing except internally make the change. Feed forward, here comes the shift, and this is invaluable, and this is a tool and a strategy that we utilize with leaders, executives, and derailing team members, meaning before you're terminated, if you end up on my calendar, we use this feed forward model within 15 minutes of saying hello, addressing the issues, we coach right here on this model, okay, and here's how it works. I'm not going to quietly make the changes, Jed. I'm going to come to next Monday's meeting, and you're sitting there, and the rest of the team is sitting there. Everyone's drawing straws to know when I lose my cool. Everybody knows I'm going to be late. I'm not. And I'm going to lean into that meeting, and I'm going to say to the gang, listen, gang, there are three areas that I'm failing as your leader. I realize that consistently and routinely I am late for Monday's meetings. That's over. It's done. They start at 8 o'clock. In fact, I'll generally be here at 7:45. I'll be here waiting for all of you. Number two, it has come to my attention that I'm not organized, done. That will no longer be. I know what I need to do. My prep will start on Sunday evening. I'll be ready for every Monday. You can count it. Number three, I realize I've been losing my cool. It's not appropriate. In fact, I've even heard some of you draw straws to figure out when I'm going to lose my cool. Those days are over. I'm going to regain my composure. I'm going to be more professional as a leader, and those days are over. Now, here's the piece that I need from all of you. I say to you, Jed, and those at the table, number one, if you see me making improvements, please let me know. It lets me know that I'm on the track. And if you want to share that praise with me, it's much appreciated. Not required, but it's appreciated. But number two, what is required? If you see me late to Monday's meeting, or you see me disorganized, or you see me losing my cool, stop me in my tracks and call me out. I need you to do that. I'm telling you, I need you to do that. Do not step over it for 1 minute or 1 moment. Everybody get it? Perfect. Let's run today's meeting. Now, Jed, when I roll that out, that's pretty overtly me saying, these are my three areas. I'm failing, and I'm going to overtly improve on those areas. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's a it's a great idea, and you're, I guess sort of, you know, admitting flaws like that, I know for me it can be tough. But since everyone knows them already, I guess it makes sense.
And here's the truth. Look, do you think I have much of a career path? If the world, you know, my team knows routinely that I'm never on time, I'm never organized, and I lose my cool, who's going to promote me? I'm going to get fired, right? I'm going to go to the next company, and guess what I'm going to do? The same darn thing, and I'm going to get fired again. I'm going to go to the next company, and I could wander along for 10 or 20 or 30 years, and no one ever tells me, hey, Ernest, go brush your teeth, you got bad breath. Okay, no one ever stops to tell me that I'm not functioning professionally until somebody finally stops you. And then the key is, how do you fix it? And this feed forward works beautifully, because what happens now, next week, I already told you, right, I'm going to be on time, be organized, and not lose my cool. I come into next week, and all of you are sitting at the table perched waiting for me to do what? Fail. And what happens? I don't. The next week, you come into the meeting, and you're sitting at the edge of your seat, and you're waiting to see if I fail, and I don't. The third week, you go, I think Ernest is making progress. And another week later, it's like, I think Ernest actually has made a shift. He's spot on. So nearly immediately, the team recognizes the things that I said are happening, and they reward me for it. And when Mary's walking down the hall looking at my brand, that used to be, he's late, he's short, and he's with temper, and he's also unorganized, has changed. That is the principle of feed forward. Every single one of you get a second chance, and even a third chance as life goes forward, but you don't get a fourth, fifth, and sixth. And if you call out those changes, you got to stick to it, you got to own it, and you have to deliver on that side. Okay? We'll field one additional question, Jed, and then we'll talk about the five best practices for the way leaders start their day. So the question relates to, how do we help our sales staff manage time more wisely? Look, this is a rather complex question, but there are some things we can work on. Number one, the question for me always is, can you remove every single task and activity that does not relate to giving a sales presentation? I mean everything. And without getting any more granular, we literally will say to a salesperson or a sales team, log for the next 3 days, every 15 minutes, what it is you're doing. And we look to eliminate as much of that as possible on that side. That is our role and your role from a leadership capacity. The second side of it is the actual skill set to prioritize each and every day. And we'll talk about it. It's kind of a perfect lead-in, Jed, to our next and last point here. There are things that we do to craft a perfect day, an award-winning day, every single day, and that there's some important coaching that I'd be giving to those of my team on the other side. So management and leadership, you've got to reduce everything admin or operational so that your team is doing nothing but selling, and then individuals need the coaching in terms of how to succeed on that side. Jed, any comments about this piece about managing time more wisely?
I mean, you know, it's, you know, I think that with you know, we were talking about Twitter when the call, you know, before the call started, and you know, I mean, one of the things which, you know, which I know I struggle with, and I think a lot of the people I work with struggle with, is, you know, is how do you get things done when there's so much to respond to, and how do you sort of prioritize what the most important thing to work on at any given moment really is. And you know, because with email and communications being the way it is, you know, you can, you know, I've had days go by where I realize, you know, all I've really done is just respond to emails, and it was not the most effective thing that I could be doing. So for me, the challenge is kind of differentiating between the really important stuff and just the stuff that needs to be done at some point, but maybe not before the important stuff.
You're right, and I believe you're reading my notes again for today, because that's exactly where we're going. We're going to talk about big rocks.
Okay.
So Jed has so beautifully transitioned us into the fourth and final point, and we said that we were going to share with you the five things that leaders do to start their day. So here we go, all right? Number one, the success of today, meaning Thursday, began actually on Wednesday, all right? So in order to have a successful Thursday, the single most important thing, and there's three ways you can do this, is you plan a perfect gold medal performance in the spirit of the Olympics, a gold medal performance every single day by ending the prior day perfectly. What does that mean? It means that either before you leave the office or as you first get home or later in the evening, three windows, okay, preferably before you leave the office, but we all know that we have other personal lives and things that can stretch us in different ways. And Jed, I've talked to leaders about where they best prepare, and I said, look, you do it ideally before you leave the office, or you do it in the early evening before you get too far along, or in some cases, especially for, you know, parents who say, hey, I'm better when all the kids are asleep and around 8 or 9, I peel back and I get ready. That's fine. Whatever works for you. And technically, you technically could also work early Thursday morning before the day gets going. But the key piece is the prep you do on Wednesday sets up for an extraordinary Thursday, because you are looking at those big rocks. You're looking at what are the key things that I need to be prepared on Wednesday. Is it a renewal I'm preparing? Is it an ad bundle? Is it the research of an agency? Is it taking a look at someone on LinkedIn to make certain I know the leader I'm speaking with, looking at our past notes, payment histories? I mean, what do I need to know about that meeting tomorrow at 8, 9, 10, and 11? Boom, so I'm ready to go. The second part of getting ready also includes what we call the four F's, okay? And the F's stand for food, all right? And you might go, food sinks in. I thought we were talking about selling ad sales. We are. But in order to be your best and do your best, I was watching Michael Phelps swim, and that's about swimming. But they always talk about his sleep cycle. They talk about his food and nutrition. They talk about the mindset, and that's exactly what's here. What is the food and fuel that you use to motor through your day? If you've ever read about triathletes, they eat six small meals a day. Try it. There's something to be said for smaller meals. If you came into my corporate office, you would see every day I bring in the fruit that goes on my counter. I'm going to work my way through on the counter of my office, and I've got my two bananas, my two oranges, my two apples. I don't have to, you know, eat anything that's going to be snacking or garbage food that sort of crashes me. I'm going to have a little lighter salad in the afternoon. Why? Because when I'm working with all of you like I am here, I need to be every single day a gold medal performance. So the food, your sleep, your fitness, even if it's 1 minute, or the fitness challenge that we give to you, can you walk for 1 minute? Great. Don't put a zero. Walk for 1 minute. Sometimes 1 minute becomes two, two becomes 22. Your fitness fuels your mind and your success. And then lastly, related to family, those you love, those we love, and it can be your immediate family, spouses, children, and it could also be your best friend or your neighbors or whatever it is that, you know, relates to love and that foundation. And the last part, of course, is just our faith, our spiritual beliefs, whatever those are, your formal spiritual beliefs or whatever your guidelines are. I'm a person of my word. I'm a person of integrity. I always see the good in people. Whatever those are, be grounded in those areas. Now, Jed, back to your point, big rocks. Big Rock says, take the biggest things. As you were looking at Thursday, what were the biggest things that you wanted to ensure happened today? And position those early in the day. By doing that early in the day, you control what you can. Because as the day continues to spool and spiral, later in the day gets tougher and tougher to control those things. I often will say the words, Jed, the day that I prepared and the day that I had were two different things. But the good news is I got my big rocks out of the way. I took care of that renewal. I spoke to that prospect. This morning, last night, Jed, before I wrapped up, my biggest rock for today was the prep for today. Looking forward to working with you and those that are joining us. And I had another window today to do a little fine-tuning in terms of the prep, because this was a very important part of my day. And every single month that we've worked together, that is always a priority, that rock that sits right here for Thursday to ensure that you and we give our best and do our best to share with media leaders around the world. the last piece, and then I'll pause, is I work with a dynamic task list, which means if, Jed, if you were in my office and you saw the Word document that sits on my screen, it's constantly like a stock ticker moving up and down. What are the tasks in the next 15 minutes, 30 minutes, hour? As I complete those tasks, they get removed. As I put them in red in font, they become even more urgent. As something becomes less important, it moves back down, 5 spots, 7 spots, 10 spots. And then I also let those tasks live in my calendar. So rather than just saying, I have to prepare for Jed and our meeting, you know, today, that actually had a one-hour block in yesterday's schedule and had another 30-minute meeting reserved, blocked for me to have. Now, that didn't mean I needed 30 minutes, but if I wanted, it was there. But I didn't book a client meeting on top of that, and therefore I couldn't be prepared for us today. So I love an ever-changing task list, and I love a task list that lives in our calendar as scheduled meetings and appointments. Okay, so Jed, that's a lot to cover, these 5 best practices as we start each day, but how about from your perspective, any additional comments or observations of the ways that you navigate from a leadership perspective?
I have lots of bad examples to give you, I think the task list is critical. I mean, I know I experiment with lots of different ways to keep a task list, and I rely on it. I think that being able to prioritize the most important tasks that you need to get done in a day, you know, is definitely a skill, and it's something I'm still working on, because it's sure easy to get pulled in different directions, thinking that you're really accomplishing a lot.
Mm-hmm. Listen, your points are valid, and here's the part about to-do lists. Here's the part about prioritization for each day. It's trial and error. Every single one of us finds what works for us best and keeps making adjustments. What I have found is there's no one perfect system. There's no magic carpet. There's no magic wand. All right, none of us are floating on water, last I checked. Some of us do play chess better than others, but there's no magic one size fits all. But here's what I do know. Start somewhere and then begin to see if it works. And here's what my barometer is, Jed. I use the term, oh, my gosh, I'm scrambling, my hair's on fire. Now, I'm a bald man, so that's a funny visual. Ernest, you have no hair. How could it be on fire? It's a figure of speech. It's that, you know, Jed, we are coming into this meeting today. I didn't do my preparation last night. I didn't block my window today. On my scale, I failed. Okay, that's fine as long as I don't do it next month. If I do it next month, then I've got to ask myself, what happened? Or I say, right, no, next month, I'm going to put something in my calendar on Tuesday plus Wednesday plus Thursday so I'm ready for next month's Thursday educational program. Boom. Okay? So those are the little adjustments along the way. So to each of you and all of you, it's a constant fine-tuning. It's a constant adjustment. For those of you that have worked with me over the last 2 decades that are listening to our audio program, recognize that you've seen my screen. I've shared with you what it looks like. And then you ask for it 3 days later, and I show you it again. It's ever-changing, just like the stock ticker watching the price of Facebook or Google. Think about it from that perspective. Find what works for you and continue to make it work. Let's pause right here. Part of great leadership is that we start our meetings on time and we end them on time. Jed, before we come up to the top of the hour, how about some closing words before we wrap up for today?
Yeah, I want to thank Ernest for the good ideas. I have a lot of things I can work on as a result of today's call, so it means it was successful. I appreciate it. Thank you all for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to learn more about MediaBids, give us a call, send us an email. We're always happy to talk. So thank you for joining us.
Beautiful. And Jed, always a pleasure. To each of you and all of you, take the time to make certain you have been to the MediaBids website and the wonderful work that they do. And then in turn, we'd love to talk to you and your team about the work we do here at Power Hour. come into powerhour.com. And again, our crown jewel is the Tuesday Sales Academy that we run and host. It is more than a dream, and you will absolutely love the work that we do. So come join us on Tuesdays, and we will coach and guide you very specifically on the strategies that you hear today and many, many more. So, Jed, thank you so much. To each of you and all of you, make it a fabulous day, and we'll see you next month. Take care.
Thank you.